Over these past 6 or 7 weeks, we have been considering some of the highlights from the life of the Apostle Paul. There are many other things we could have said, but today I want to bring these short series of messages on the life of Paul to an end for this time. I do pray that what we have considered over these past number of weeks has been a blessing to your souls. We have no way exhausted the subject, but I hope in some little way that the Lord has given you a desire to study in more detail the life and the ministry of this great man of God. There's no doubt that Paul was a unique and a mighty man of God. If he was not the greatest of all the apostles then, he certainly was one of the greatest. Paul was undoubtedly used of the Lord in a very special way. And we have seen that in the course of these studies, how he was a great missionary and a great preacher and a great soul winner and a great church planter. He served the Lord to the best of his ability. And from the day he was saved until the day he went home to glory, he was a faithful servant of the Lord. And yet, although Paul was one of the greatest servants of God that ever lived, his life upon this earth eventually came to an end. The truth is that even the best of men will die. Even the godliest of men will pass away. But what a testimony Paul had at the end of his life. Very simply today, I want to draw your attention to this wonderful statement that Paul made at the end of his life as he thought about his death. Paul, I believe, wrote these words when he was in a prison cell at Rome. And it's important to understand these words in their context. Very soon, Paul would be executed for his faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, although facing the last enemy, indeed facing the executioner, Paul made this wonderful declaration that we have here in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. A declaration that ought to encourage every child of God. If you're saved today, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, then these words ought to encourage you. But these words, I believe, ought to challenge the unsaved. If you're not a Christian today, I pray that you will listen very carefully to what is said here in this text of Scripture. And I pray that the Lord will use these words to speak to your heart. Now, what do we learn here about the death of the Apostle Paul? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that Paul was prepared to die. Are you prepared to die? Have you made that needed preparation to die? You know, this whole text in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8, express the words of a man who was well prepared for death. What confidence and assurance Paul had as he came to face the last enemy. Look at verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." The simple reason why Paul was prepared for death was because he was saved by the grace of God. Paul had made that needed preparation many years before when he met the resurrected Christ and received him as his own and personal Savior. The Damascus Road experience in Acts chapter 9 was the moment when Paul prepared for death and for eternity. Now, in the course of these studies, indeed right at the very beginning of these studies on highlights from the life of Paul, we considered the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And if you weren't there on that occasion, then I would encourage you to read Acts chapter 9, and you will read there how this man was gloriously saved by the grace of God. That was the day when he made preparation for death and for eternity. That was the day when he became a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away and all things became new. That was the day when Paul became a child of God and an inheritor of the kingdom of God. That was the day when Paul's sins were forgiven and when he was delivered from hell and judgment to come. And this was all made possible through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the only reason why Paul was prepared for death was because on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus died, shed his precious blood for his sins. And not only did the Lord Jesus die upon the cross for Paul's sins, but he rose again. And because the Lord Jesus rose again, and because he lives, Paul could live also. Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. He's talking there about the day of his conversion. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul said in Galatians 3 verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Well, there's no doubt that this man was well prepared for death. My friend, let me ask you the question again. Are you prepared for death? Are you saved? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Only you can answer that question honestly within your own heart and within your own soul. But let me say this. There's only one way whereby you can make preparation, and that's through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, believing on him as your own and personal Savior, accepting what he has done upon the cross for you. And of course, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He died for our sins. He shed his blood for our iniquities. He died the just for the unjust. He became our substitute. But in order for Christ's death to mean anything to you or to me or to anyone, they must receive Christ into their heart as their own and personal Redeemer. You see, that's what Paul was saying there in 1 Corinthians 15. He was looking back to that day in Acts chapter 9 when he was saved, when he received Christ as his Savior. First of all, that which I also received. See, the Bible says, for as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can you look back to a day in your life when you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, when you believed on him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. When you turned from your sin and trusted Christ alone as your own and personal Redeemer. You see, Paul's coming here and he's facing death. Very soon he's going to be executed for his faith. He's the old man now. He's thinking of the day when he will leave this scene of time. And he knows that his time upon this earth is short. He knows the day of execution is dawning. But as he looks forward to death, he knows that he's prepared. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. My friend, have you prepared for death? The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Because meet him, you surely will. And you will meet him in one of two ways. You will either meet him as your Savior, or you will meet him as your judge. We're all going to die, because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. Death is not the end. Death, in many regards, is only the beginning. The Bible says that after death, there's the judgment. There's an after this. And you will meet God. Now you can try to block God out of your mind. You can try to block salvation and eternity out of your mind. You can try and block what the Bible says out of your mind. Heaven, hell, and what comes after death out of your mind. But whether you do or not, the moment you die, you will stand before God. You will meet God. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, we read these very solemn words. And I saw the dead. So death is not the end. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now those are words you need to underline in your Bible. Stand before God. Don't believe the atheist. Don't believe the agnostic who tells you that there's no life beyond the grave. Don't believe them. Because as far as the Bible is concerned, the Bible tells us clearly that every Christ rejecter, every sinner who dies without the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Redeemer, everyone who dies unprepared, they will meet God. But they will meet Him in judgment. And you will stand before God. You will. And there'll be no one else there. You will stand alone before God. That's why you need to make preparation for death. That's why you need to be saved. That's why you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. But take a look again at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to notice not only that Paul was prepared to die. In other words, he was saved. He was ready. But I want you to notice that Paul was willing to die. Now, this is something quite amazing. These words in 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 to 8 express the words of a man who knew that he had come to the end of his life and was willing to let go of his life upon this earth. The child of God, I want you to see that. That, I believe, is very important. Look what Paul says there. I have fought a good fight. Verse 7. I have finished my course. I want you to underline those words. Paul knew that his course on earth was finished. That his work on earth was finished. Therefore, Paul did not try to fight off death. He was not sorry when death came. Paul willingly faced death because he knew his race was over. He knew his work for God was over. And he knew it was now God's will for him to die. Paul had no regrets because he had served the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind. Paul here is a man who is not only at peace with God, but he's at peace with himself. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered." Underline those words. In the original, these words literally mean, "I am already poured out." In other words, Paul was saying, "I am already a martyr in affliction." Paul here was in Rome awaiting execution for his faith. I've already emphasized that point. Let me emphasize it again. Therefore, not only was Paul willing to die, but he was willing to die as a martyr for the faith. Paul here speaks of death as a pleasure. Now, let that sink in. Let that sink in. Paul here speaks of death as a pleasure, something to look forward to. He calls it his departure. The time of my departure is at hand. You know, I have seen many people die. But I have seen few who were willing to die like the Apostle Paul. Men and women, the best way to die is to die without regrets. And the only way to die without regrets is to live your life serving the Lord and obeying His word. Paul lived his life for Christ. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And Paul's objective in life was to come to the end of his life with no regrets. Acts 20 verse 24, Paul said this, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." And Paul's objective was fulfilled. He finished his course with joy. He finished the ministry with joy. Was there any wonder that he was willing to die, that he was willing to let go? It's so important that you see that truth in this portion of Scripture. Paul's not just glibly thinking about his death, but as he thinks about his death, he willingly goes to be executed because he knows that it's God's will for him. Child of God, when it comes our turn to die, may we be willing to let go. We are ready to die. We are prepared to die because we are saved. And there's no greater blessing than to be prepared for death and for eternity. But when we come to die, may we be willing. May we be willing. You see, you've got to read these words in the context. Here's a man who's not only prepared to die, but he's willing. And there's a big difference. "For I am now ready." Paul says, "I'm ready. Right now, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered." He's not just speaking about the fact that he's prepared, that he's saved. No, no, no. There's something deeper here. And child of God, is so important that you and I see what's the deeper thought here. Paul knew that it was God's will for him to die on this occasion. Therefore, he wasn't trying to fight off death. You know, I'm often reminded when I think of God's servants dying and being willing to die in God's will at God's time, I often think of Aaron, the high priest. Just keep your hand in 2 Timothy 4 there. And turn over with me in your Bibles for a moment to Numbers chapter 20. Aaron, of course, had been the high priest in Israel for many years. And the Lord had used him and blessed him. He certainly was not without his faults. But he was a man of God. But in this chapter, he's going to die. And I believe he knows that he's going to die. Take a look there with me at verse 23. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron." Now, he's speaking not only to Moses, he's speaking also to Aaron. So the Lord's not going to try and hide anything from Aaron here. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people." In other words, Aaron shall die. And Aaron's listening. "For he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah." So there's the reason why he wasn't going to be permitted to go into the promised land. Of course, Moses wasn't permitted to go in either. Now here's what Moses was to do, and Aaron's listening. Verse 25. "Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up onto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there." Now just think about that for a moment. The Lord here is telling Moses and Aaron that Aaron's going to die. And he's saying, take Aaron up to the top of the mount. And when you get him up to the top of the mount, he's going to die. Let me tell you something, friend. If God was to say to you today, you're going to die tomorrow, what would your feeling be? What would your reaction be, child of God? If you knew tomorrow that you're going to die, we'll take a look at what Aaron did here. Look at verse 27. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. And they went up into the Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments. His work was over, you see. His work was done. And put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. My friend, not only was Aaron prepared to die, Aaron was willing to die. You see, he knew his life had come to an end. He knew that it was all in God's will. And he was prepared for it. And he was ready for it. And he was willing for it. Oh, there's a great lesson there for you and me, child of God. The day will come when our work on earth is over. And when our journey has to come to an end. Let us die well. Let us die well. It's good to live well, but let us die well. Here we have a man, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy 4, and he's dying well because he knows it's God's will. God hath appointed our bounds that we cannot pass. It is appointed unto man once to die. And the day of our death is appointed by God. May we not fight against it when it comes. I believe that's one of the lessons here found in this portion of Scripture. There's one thing else I want you to notice before we close, but and this is wonderful. Take a look with me there at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Not only was Paul prepared to die. My friend, if you're not prepared, get prepared today. Get saved today. Not only was he willing to die. He knew that it was God's will because his life work was over. But I want you to notice that Paul was looking forward to die. Paul was looking forward to die. Child of God, are you looking forward to die? He said to me, Mr. Gray, you're very morbid today. Not a bit of it. I'm not morbid. If you think death is morbid, my friend, for the child of God, then you haven't studied the Bible the way you should have studied the Bible. Death, for the child of God, is something to look forward to. Paul is looking forward to the day of his death. And the reason can be found in verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. These words express the words of a man who knew where he was going to spend eternity. Paul knew that he was going to heaven to be with Christ for all eternity. Paul said on another occasion, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The child of God has an eternal inheritance and home in heaven. That is a fact. That's not a theory. That's a fact. One of the greatest facts that's clearly taught in the Word of God. And something that someday we should think about and look forward to. Isn't it wonderful to know that we're on our way to heaven, that we'll never be in hell? Oh, here we have the Apostle Paul. And as he thinks about the day of execution, as he thinks about the day of death, he looks forward to the moment he closes his eyes upon this scene of time, because he knows immediately that takes place, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He's looking forward to die. because he knows that he's going home to see the King in all his glory. My friend, are you looking forward to getting to heaven? Because heaven is a wonderful place. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, we read these words, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great," listen to it, "for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." But notice that wonderful promise of Christ in the middle of the text there. "Great is your reward in heaven." The Apostle Paul, of course, would have been reminded of those words of the Saviour. O child of God, life at best is very brief. And soon our lives will come to an end. But as far as the child of God is concerned, and as far as the Christian is concerned, the moment we leave this scene of time, we're going home to glory. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, we read these words, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Have you got that blessed hope today? In this meeting, as we're gathered here, in this Lord's Day, have you got that blessed hope? Well, my friend, if you haven't got that blessed hope, in other words, if you haven't got the assurance of God's salvation, my prayer is that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you can't be looking forward to death. Because death for you will usher you out into hell. Death for you will usher you out into a lost eternity where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But oh, what a difference for the child of God. What a difference for those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Think of these words today. Think of them this week. Open the Bible again and read them. Encourage yourself, child of God, in these words. And don't get your roots too deeply down into this old world. Because sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later, you'll have to leave whatever you have behind. And you'll have to go out into eternity. But thank God, as far as the Christian is concerned, what a blessed day that will be. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Sometimes we, as God's people, forget about what heaven is really like. A place where there's no sorrow and no tears and no separation and no death and no pain. A place where the Saviour dwells. A place where the streets are paved with gold. An eternal city. An eternal home. Where all the houses are mansions. And where we will be at peace and rest. And sing the song of Moses and the Lamb for all eternity. O child of God, we have nothing to be discouraged about. Because at the end of this old life, we're going to be with our blessed Redeemer for all eternity. Let's praise the Lord for what he has done. And sinner, if you're not ready, then get ready today. Come to Christ. Let's all bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the life of this great man of God, the Apostle Paul. And yet, Lord, at the very best, he was only a sinner saved by grace. O God, we thank thee for his life and for his death and for the way that he shone out for thee in his life and in his death. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us not only to live well, but to die well, and help us, Lord, to bear that good testimony for Christ our Redeemer. And O God, I pray for those here today who are not saved. They've failed to make that preparation for death. O God, I pray that you'll save them this Lord's Day. Bring them to Christ. Show them, Lord, their great need of a Savior. Reveal unto them, Lord, that someday they will stand before thee, no matter what they believe. They'll stand before thee. Lord, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But, O God, we thank thee that there's hope in the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, that there's redemption in Christ. And, O God, those of us who are saved, Lord, help us to serve thee with all our souls. And, O God, we pray that you'll encourage your people, and especially those in the winter of life. O God, we recognize, Lord, that the young may die, but the old must. And, O God, help us not only to be at peace with thee, Lord, but help us to be at peace with ourselves, peace with one another. Help us, Lord, not to have any regrets when we come to leave this scene of time. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. We're going to close by singing hymn 592. When all my labours and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. We're going to stand to sing this lovely hymn 591.